Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Random Thoughts Podcast. I'm your host, Jeremiah Ortega. It's been a while, folks. Okay, we're going to start this again. We're going to try to do this every week, and I'm honest this time. Honest Abe, one of the best presidents, one of the worst parties in the history of the world. That Republican Party, I tell you. Well, you already know. You read the news. You see Twitter. You see what's happening in the world. You see they've turned into a Christo-fascist party. The Christo meaning Christ. Fascist meaning fascist. They only want some sort of theocracy where only fascist ideals are going to be achieved. It's turned into a real shit show, folks. Happy you're here to listen with me. I know I don't want to come off as such, you know, I don't want to be a downer, considering that the Democrats and the President, Joe Biden, have done a lot. You know, it makes me think that these crystal fascist Republicans are kind of inept. They don't know what the hell they're doing. They ain't got a clue. And that's good. That's good for America. That's good for the world. You don't want these people to have the nuclear codes, folks. You saw what happened with Mr. Trumpy there. And now he may go to prison. Serves him right. He is a traitorous bastard. And I don't care who says it or who hears it. We all know this. We got to stop pretending that he's an idiot, that he doesn't know what he's doing. He does. Or somebody's telling him. And he's listening. And that's the problem, folks. We have an idiot. An actual moron. A narcissistic moron who had the nuclear codes. He had nuclear documents, top secret, classified documents in his stupid basement of his stupid golf club, his golf course. Can you believe it, anybody? It's insane, right? But I digress. Let's talk about something like today. It's a Saturday. It's a good day to chill, relax, forget about all that nonsense. And let's just talk. There's a show on HBO Max. I really wanted to talk about this podcast. It's from Nathan Fielder, The Rehearsal. It's his next project he's come out with since Nathan For You, that was on Comedy Central, where he would, encourage businesses to use his sales and marketing techniques. And it was pretty hilarious. Nathan Fielder, and he's an interesting guy in comedy right now. The dude is Kaufman-esque. He reminds me of Andy Kaufman. I mean, the character he's in, just his persona, he's so committed to it. That's why so many people who he talks to and how he gets in these situations believe him, just because he's so upfront about who he is. He never breaks character. He never, like, the situations are so ridiculous, so over the top, but he's so serious and so zoned in that people just take his word for it. They're like, oh, all right, yes, that sounds great. You know, it's like coercion, manipulation, and it's hilarious, and it can be mean. It feels mean. The finale of The Rehearsal was pretty dang mean, and it was dark. It was very dark. I was just so freaked out of how far this guy has gone, how far he's willing to go with these rehearsal techniques, with these simulations. All right, if you don't know the show, he's taking people. He's asking people if they want to rehearse something. There's something in their life they want to do, but they don't have the courage to do it. He's offering them a rehearsal. So this first guy, he was like a trivia champion. He was a wannabe trivia champion. He wanted to. He had a lie. He told his trivia mates that he had a PhD, or he had his master's, something like that. He had an advanced degree, and in reality, he only had a bachelor's. And it'd been bugging him for 10 years. He'd been kicking up this lie for 10 years. And, you know, he took, like, the woman in the group who'd probably be the most, angry at him, like, pissed off that he'd lie. They found an actress who would act like her, the woman who was in his trivia group, they found an actress. Okay, I hope I'm not messing up the description, but they found an actress who would act like his trivia mate, and she copied all her mannerisms, her voice inflections. She was even physically, like, her clothes matched the same physical appearance, and she would practice with the guy in a simulated bar. Like, Nathan Fielder is insane. He built the exact replica of the bar where they hang out. HBO gave him so much money to do some crazy stuff. And it worked. It is so hilarious. Every detail by detail, you know, just like there was a chair that was completely ripped open. It's like a disgusting bar chair. And the set designer, prop designer, you know, God bless you. Amazing, amazing work, guys and gals and everybody in between. And it's crazy, right? It was the exact, it felt so weird. It's like surreal and just, you know, kind of creepy at the same time. And that's exactly what he's going for. He's going surreal creepiness. And these situations, they just lead to laughter. They lead to uncomfortable, cringy. Just, you're in awe of how far somebody can go with their idea. And Fielder is a guy who just, he takes it up to 11 every time. It's amazing. And it just, the commitment of something like that, to try something like that, to do something like that, you're just in awe of the guy. It's like, man, is he for real? How does he get these crazy ass ideas, and how does he pull them off? How does he execute them? That's the genius. I mean, we've all had these crazy ideas of how, you know, we can just prank somebody, or we can, you know, manipulate him into doing what we want them to do. But this guy does it, and he does it to a T, a perfect comedic T. It's amazing. The guy's a master of his craft. I don't even know what this craft is. He's a master manipulator. That's kind of fair to say. He feels like, okay, it's Kaufman mixed with, I don't want to say Goebbels, but he's not really a messenger. Okay, Nathan Fielder is not Joseph Goebbels mixed with Andy Kaufman. I'm telling you, there's just something there. You know, he's not Nazi, but God damn, he can really push an idea on people, and they run with it. It is something to behold. It is crazy, and the second part of the episode is more of a, it's kind of linear, and he gets involved in the next project with a woman named Angela. She is borderline nutso. She's a religious fundamentalist, it feels like. Everything is satanic, you'll see. She thinks Halloween was started by Satanists. I don't know if she's a QAnon person, but yep, it's pretty close to their Alex Jones QAnon. She reads all this crazy stuff on the internet and believes it wholeheartedly and mixes it with the Bible. So yeah, it is a sight to behold. And she's such a, like, she seems like a nice person. Her voice, that's where she gets you. Her voice is so calming, and it's wholesome, and it's very kind. It's a kind voice. So that's where she gets you. It's like, yes, and thank you, and you're so amazing. And then it's like, that's demonic, and I hate you. And Mel Gibson is amazing. And I love what he says about the Jews. You know, you know, she didn't say that, but it was pretty crazy. Nathan Fielder wanted to raise his kid as Jewish. He is Jewish. And she really can't stand anything of the Jews. She can't see there's Judeo-Christian values. And she doesn't really, well, I mean, she didn't even acknowledge that the first half of the Bible, the Old Testament, is part of the Torah. So that is pretty strange. And I wish they would have brought it up to her. I wish that the Jewish woman that Nathan, he brought to go talk to her, would have said that. Don't you realize that they're the same book, that they're the same teachings, the Ten Commandments? We got the Adam and Eve, the Garden of Eden, we got Noah's Ark. We all believe that. If you believe in Christianity or Judaism, they are the same in some respects. I know we disagree about the whole Jesus thing, but, you know, we can agree to disagree there. But everything else, you know, it's fairly the same. And it's a gospel. It's a thing of peace. All right, the Old Testament's a little kooky, but all right, no, oh, okay, all right. It's got some pretty crazy parts. That's all I'm saying. And you'll agree with me. Have you ever read the Bible? You've read some of the verses. You've read some of the killings, the murders, and all the barbaric stuff that happens in the Bible. You'd be like, all right, well, this don't seem like peace and happiness to me. But again, I digress. Okay, if you want to believe, you can believe. Just don't throw it out there. Don't be like a Lauren Bobberton saying that religious text supersedes government and the government over the people, for the people, by the people. You are serving in Congress, Miss Bobbert, and you have never read the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. You've never read I bet you haven't even read the Declaration of Independence. You don't know the creeds and ideas of what you're representing. You are in charge. You are steward of our government, and you're just blabbering all this nonsense, this stupidity. I can't believe the good people of Colorado put you there. I can't believe you're there. I don't know if it's true that you'd failed your GED 4 or 5 times and they felt sorry for you and they let you pass on the last try, but good God, you make it seem like that's exactly what happened. It's hard to imagine somebody this ignorant and this dense can be serving in our government, making laws, taxpayer money, funding your paycheck. And you are this dense. You are this ignorant to what our country represents and the ideals it tries to uphold. You're a steward of our government. This is a tradition that goes back to the 1700s when we decided to be a self-governing nation. We decided to break free from England and rule ourselves. Democratic Republic rule. As the way we set it up, as our founding fathers. And you try to use our founding fathers. You try to pervert who our founding fathers were. Okay, Miss Bobbert, and same goes for you, Taylor Green, Taylor Ham, whatever you want to call yourself. Your pronouns or whatever, you shut the STFU. You know what I mean. But anyway, okay, back to Fielder. Okay, the finale happened last night. I don't want to give any spoilers away, but you should watch it. The rehearsal, you got HBO. You got a satellite subscription. You got a internet subscription to HBO Max. You can watch it right now. It is equal parts, you know, just it's hilarious, but it gets cringy. It gets sad. It gets you're feeling so many emotions, and you're feeling for the people that he's interacted with and the kids. You know, he's interacted with so many kids because part of the Angela was a woman who wanted to have a baby and see the experience of raising a child through the years. And I guess and Nathan bonded with one of the kids. He was acting as the father of the child. And so, well, you're gonna have to just see how the situations he has create to new situations, and he has to keep simulating upon the simulation upon the simulation. It's just building up and up and up. It's really something new and interesting you haven't seen on TV very much. It feels like a Rick and Morty episode or the simulation within a simulate, but like 100 times that. And it just keeps expanding. And it feels like it's expanding in real time. And that's Nathan's, Fielder's, that's his method. And he wants to shock and he wants to surprise and he wants to keep upping the ante. That's amazing. And I don't know if Nathan's a stand-up, but it seems like he's done some. He's from Canada. I'm not really aware of the guy, but I only really know him from Nathan For You and the rehearsal now, but it feels like he has a lot of improv and just manipulation. It's amazing. Like, you would believe this guy. He's not going to stand out in a crowd. Maybe that's why so many people trust him. They want to give him their trust. I mean, because he has the camera crew, he has everything there. It looks legitimate. Maybe his legitimization is part of the manipulation, but it works, and it's so good, guys. You should watch it. Everybody should watch it. And the way he can fool people, the way he fooled people on his Comedy Central show, the way he fooled the news, how easy it was, and how he showed to fool the news that they would make news stories about it. His show, and they just ate right out, or you have a meeting out of his hand, you know, and you're like, wow, is it really that easy? Is it really that easy to get the news to cover you, to make you even, you know, bring more attention to your show, bring more attention to the prank? It's amazing. And the guy, he's the best doing it. There's nobody else doing anything like what he's doing. That's what makes it so unique. and so cool. But yeah, The Rehearsal, check it out, guys. That's one of the best new shows on TV this year, and it got renewed for the season 2 of HBO Max. I don't know what's going on there. They're really restructuring and combining with Discovery Plus now, so it's kind of a shit show, but it's one of the best things from that shit show. So just watch it, guys. You will not be let down, and I will not steer you wrong. I think I have pretty good taste, so just take my word for it. Watch it, guys. It's good. All right, moving on. Another show I was watching me and my brother watch called Lock and Key. It's on Netflix. It's from a story. I mean, the guy who started it was Owen King. It's from Owen King. He is actually Stephen King's son. The premise of the show is really interesting. It's of a family. They lose their father. They're the Locke family. They move to Maine. They move to their historic key house, it's called. And once there, the youngest son, Bodie, he starts finding these magical keys. They call to him. They kind of whisper to him. He can hear him, but adults can't hear. So he starts finding them. He starts opening them. They start revealing secret powers. Like, one of them can make you really strong. He got the strength key. There is something called a ghost key. You open a door, your soul leaves your body. You can fly around outside as a ghost. That has a lot of repercussions later in the show. You know, there's a time travel key. They just found it now in this season. There's an Omega key. They're called the Alpha keys. These keys open up portals to different dimensions. It's really cool. And there's a truth-telling key. There's a hypnosis key. There's about 15, 20 keys. There's a tiny house key. There's a snow globe key. there's so many keys. They should have made maybe like 10. And, you know, you lose track of all the keys. And that's kind of where the show, you know, it kind of, it's hard. In a show, you have to kind of condense it. In the books, I'm sure that Owen King, he probably had chapters about each key, about going into great detail about what you can do, why they're dangerous, why they're so powerful. You know, there's an anywhere key. You turn the key in any door. You can go anywhere you want. Just think about it. That's really cool. It's like a teleportation key. But, yeah, in the series, you know, you get lost. There's so many keys that you forget about some keys. You don't even remember they were there. They use them. You're like, oh, yeah. You're like, ah. Oh. You know, you are a little disappointed. And it's just the constructs of the show, it's just hard. It's hard, in 10 episodes with 10 hours of television to be able to tell the story of these keys in great detail. And that's a shame. It's a shame you can't do that because it's really interesting. The concept of the show is great. The execution, not so great. Okay, guys, this last season, season 3, if you want to give it, if you want to give it a look, and then there's these demons that came from this other dimension. They want the keys. They're against the locks. They can shapeshift. They can go into people. They can possess people. It gets a little, fantastical, fantasy based. If that's your thing, you're gonna like it. But if it's not, you're gonna kind of, and it's kind of young teen. It's teen sci-fi, teen fantasy. It's a lot of teens. It's newcomers. Some of the acting's not so great from the kids. It feels a little CW-ish at sometimes. It feels more like, I can't really explain more. Like, it was Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Okay, I'm kind of dating myself. That Roswell, kind of like the new Archie and Veronica show. Riverdale, it feels Riverdale-ish. Pretty Little Liars, it's kind of like there. It's kind of like they want to force these romantic couples together. They want you to care about them. In the end, you don't. You know, it's just they don't really care that much about them. It's just they want, they want a certain audience to be involved. They want a teen audience. They want to push these young, good-looking actresses and the good-looking people together. These Hollywood, they're in their 20s and 30s, but they want to make them teens. It's blah 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 blah. It's kind of like, and that kind of takes you out of it. I tell you, the acting is subpar. It's not the best, but the concept of the show is cool. We're getting to the end now. It's, Netflix, they're notorious for cutting shows short. So I feel a little cheated about, them not maybe expanding the show for an extra season, adding more shows. And it's kind of like, it's a product of the Netflix model. It's just, I hate that it happens to shows. And it happened to a show like On My Block. That was another show Netflix did kind of dirty at the end. You get invested in these shows, and then they just end abruptly. The stories are cut. The characters are cut. They're condensed. And you get a crappier product. And they really don't care, the bigwigs, because they want to save money. They want to impress the shareholders and the stock. They want to make sure the stock goes up. And it's sometimes business decisions get in the way of the creative process. And it's very, very, you know, you could see it a lot in the last season of Lock and Key. Still, you know, quality show, very watchable. Very cool to see how these new keys are going to change and how, you know, special effects are really good on the show. Maybe like just, you know, it's like a Saturday show, like I've talked in the past. One of those shows, relax your brain, relax your, you know, get off your phone. You don't have to be tweeting about it. It's not like must-see TV where you got to tweet every 20 seconds to try to get more likes and retweets. You can just kind of let it go. It's not like a trending show or anything. But it is pretty popular, I guess, with the kids and the teens and the young adults. So if you want to capture your young adulthood phase, you want to be in the loop, maybe some weirdos, I don't know who watches the show, maybe some art, theater, cinema geeks, but whatever it is, Stephen King fans, Owen King, you'll like it too. Oh, and also another show, it's coming out on Hulu, it's called This Fool, with it's comedian Chris Estrada's show. It's really funny, it's a slice of life type of show. East LA, it deals with the cholo, Latino, Latina culture fool, ese a la verga fool. It's close to home, but not really. I'm not from LA. I'm from New Mexico. I'm from rural New Mexico. So I've never seen a show about my people. We're kind of farmers, eh? And we're fool, and we're not from the city. We don't drive low riders, drive tractors, eh? Like a tractor, and I buck bales, and I feed horses, and I feed cows, raise sheep. My brother has sheep right now, eh? You know, but it's really LA. It's really East LA. And it's a new take on the thugs and gang culture. It's like the main character, he runs a drug rehab or gang rehab program to get out of the life of being out of being a gangster. And his cousin just gets out of prison. So now he's like his mentor to his cousin. His cousin's a wild card crazy. And the Chris Estrada's the straight man in the show. And he's like, you know, it's Harold and Kumar. It's Oscar and Felix. It goes back to that type of formula, like all the way to The Odd Couple. These guys are living together. You're living with your family. You're living with your mom, your grandma. When you're Latino and millennial, you're living with your parents, your grandparents, your uncles, your aunts, everybody you can find. And it's a good show. That's what I mean. If you like, I want you to give new comedies a chance. I want you to like This Fool. It is funny. It's written well. The jokes are funny. It's a little crass. And that's okay. That's kind of where I have a problem. It's funny. It's crass. It's raunchy. And when Latinos come out with something new on TV, everybody wants to watch it. All the family, the familia, bro. That's what I'm saying, Chris. If you want to, for season two, I'm not saying to tone it down. I'm not telling you to, like, to sanitize it. I'm just saying, bro. Oh, bro, this is the crazy ranch on it. Just maybe tone it down. Look another way, bro. It's just, you know, your mom wants to watch it. Your dad, the priest, your abuela, you know, you got the abuelos, whoever wants to watch it, bro, they all want to watch it because it's them. They finally see themselves showcased on television. It's not done enough. It's hardly done. Selena is the only role model, and she's still the role model. She's still the hero. Can't we have like 15 role models? And the only other role model is another Selena Gomez. Can we get a different name? I mean, look, it's just, it's a sad state of TV where Latinos only get a few chances, man. Like, Cristela Alonso got a chance a long time ago, and they took it from her. And George Lopez is getting his third bite at the apple now with a new show called Lopez vs. Lopez. But it's sad, man. I mean, we should have about 4 or 5, 6 Latino shows. Dramas. Like, I always had a thing about a show about my dad. He's a contractor. He's had a crazy life. Yeah, living in the, just growing up rural and Hispanic. I mean, I'm from New Mexico. We didn't come here I've been here. My family's been here since the 1500s. You know, it predates any Italians, any Anglos, any English, Italians, Irish, English, Polish, all the people from the Northeast who act like they've been here forever, been here the longest. The only people that predate me are just the indigenous, the natives. And, you know, I'd like to see a story about my people here, northern New Mexico. The culture's different. The people are different. The food is different. The stories are different. The folklore, La Llorona and all that stuff. And that's what I'd want to see. I'd want to see my dad's been a contractor, a roofing contractor for 30 years. My brother, that's what he wants to do. He's getting his contractor's license soon. And I was stuck in the middle, you know. I didn't want to do it, but I learned, and I helped my dad all my life. I helped him put on roofs. What is their story? What is that story? What is that blue-collar story in America that never gets told? And never gets told, you know, it's always from the lens of East LA, the barrio. I know nothing of the barrio, bro. I know the field. I know fishing. I love to fish. Don't really care to hunt, but my brother loves to hunt. That's a big culture. It's a hunting culture. It's a fishing culture. It's hiking. It's being outdoors, man. Living off the land. Making the land sustainable. Caring about the land. And that's what I'd wish I'd see. You know, I'd want Hollywood to look towards me, towards my people, towards these stories, towards northern New Mexico, southern Colorado. You haven't heard our stories. Yes, you've seen Breaking Bad for New Mexico. You've seen South Park for Colorado. That's a Gavacho story, bro. That's a Huero story. That's the, I don't want to say the Pinche Hueros, but I'm saying it's a white man's tale of the Rocky Mountains Southwest. There is creative voices here, and you just have to look. You have to give it a chance. Just give me a chance. I could write you a story. I could write you a half-hour sitcom. I could write you an hour dramedy about my mom and dad and my grandparents. My grandpa was a hard rock miner. He knew how to do demolition. He knew how to do explosives. He worked with explosives. He worked in mines for 35 years. He was a Korean War vet. He was a Korean War vet. He was a miner for 35 years. He worked and then he was a rancher. He had cows. He had horses. He even had buffalo at one point. He had sheep. And when he was a child, his parents had over 2,000 sheep. He raised sheep, or he would herd sheep in the mountains all summer. It's amazing. A kid, 7, 8-year-old kid, being a shepherd to that many sheep. That's crazy. They would do it. They'd have an old shepherd who they'd send him with, and him and like his brother and his cousins would go, and they'd be there. Out in the wild, there's black bears, there's cougars, there's bobcats. There's a lot of predator animals in the mountains. They had an 8 and 9 year old kid out there. That's amazing. That's an amazing story. Where do you see that? He graduated high school later, and he was 19 when he graduated because he had to start school so late when he'd come back. They held him back a year. That's crazy. Yeah, they had him at a school he went. He was a wrestler. He was a big-time wrestler. He played football in the 40s and 50s. I mean, my grandfather's another one who's had an interesting, pretty amazing life when you think about it. All the things he did, how different it was, where he went in his life, parts of the world he saw. He passed away about 4 years ago. I miss my grandpa. You know, I learned so much from him. The things that me and him would do special, like we love the New Mexico Lobos. That's our college basketball team. We never missed a game. And that's the thing I don't have anymore. And professional basketball, the NBA, like he was the only one who liked to watch it with me. My dad and my brother, we only like football. We like the Raiders. That's another thing we'll talk about on this podcast. But again, I think it's almost time. This is going to be a 30-minuter one. So I know I came back with all the passion, all the crazy passion and all the and everything I have. And I just wanted to say I'm doing this for real this time. Okay, guys? You're going to be hearing a lot more from me. And I hope you listen. And I hope you care because I got a lot to talk about. And I'm not stopping there. I'm going to rhyme and reason and I'll do whatever I want. And random thoughts are going to pop in and out of my head until I'm dead. Okay. Thanks, everybody. We will be back. I will be back. You will hear from me in a few days.